The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. This morning's sermon comes from the Reverend Ben E. Helmer. There was a woman who was a devoted member of a small church that was part of a regional cluster of churches. One time when the bishop was there, she came towards him with a fire in her eye, saying, "So, When are you going to send us a priest? The bishop replied, You know what? You're asking the wrong question. The question is, how is your church going to take responsibility for its own mission and ministry? Now, that dialogue continued along these lines for a while, and finally the woman said, Well, I guess we just have very different views about ministry. The woman there spoke the truth. This story is not unlike the discussion Jesus had with the woman at the well. They were both talking about water. She wanted the living water, which would enable her to never be thirsty again, never have to come daily to the well for water. Jesus offered her spiritual water, a flowing well which would provide her with the river of eternal life. In both accounts, the people are asking for practical needs to be met. One wants a priest, another wants water to quench her thirst. In both cases, the dialogue is marked by the quest for basic needs and the challenge to move the conversation to significant issues of ministry and spirituality. The interesting thing is that while both conversations seem to conclude in a standoff, in fact, there's a lot of movement toward a new understanding. The woman asking for a priest eventually realized that her expectations were unrealistic, and she became much more supportive of the model of ministry which was financially feasible for her church. The woman at the well, despite her confusion over what kind of water Jesus was talking about, stated her faith that the Messiah was coming, then discovered that she had met him in the flesh. After that, water and thirst would never be the same for her. Have you ever felt any connection with either of these women so far? Can you think of a time in your life when you've been on a totally different beam from the person you're talking with? And what about God? Have you ever puzzled over why your obvious needs seem to be ignored in prayer? Or have you experienced that strange feeling that you're being pushed in a direction you don't want to go, being led on a journey you aren't certain you want to make? If you felt these things, then you're in a great company of faithful folk who wonder if they are praying in the right prayers or thinking about the right things. God seems so baffling at times. Now, let's return to the story of Jesus and the woman at the well, the woman of Sychar in Samaria. This story is a dialogue between two people who have very different backgrounds and are even potential enemies. They start out from different assumptions. The woman knows certain things about Jews, and so she expects Jesus to behave toward her like others have. Jesus knows about Samaritans and assumes her to be ignorant. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," but as the conversation continues, both begin to realize the other has something to say. The woman begins to see Jesus as an individual person. She even tells him things about herself that are very personal. Jesus sees the woman as a truthful person of faith. It is with mutual awareness, then, that the dialogue can continue. Applying this gospel to our own experience provides some observations from which we can learn. First, this passage teaches us something about God. While we believe God to be wholly other from us and very different, we see in Jesus the image of God, the patient person of conversation who wants to know what is really going on in our lives. What issues are facing us? What obstacles beset us? God wants to know. Jesus wants to listen to our story. There is also a bold teaching that we can apply directly in today's climate of increasing racism. We have some things to say to each other, the black to the white, the gay to the straight, the worker to the manager. At first, it's like the opening conversation between Jesus and the woman, but if we keep listening, eventually we find that we have things to offer. A white man grew up with colored help in his home. When he became a student at a university, he was assigned a black roommate. Their relationship was very cool at first, but eventually they developed a friendship based on mutual respect and a common interest in athletics. They have since become fathers, and their children are now friends. Each is godparent to the other's offspring. They worked at their relationship and still do. There's also a profound teaching about the way that we approach issues in which we differ. Our culture tends to encourage the attitude that values and norms of the majority should always prevail. The recent legislation that made some legislation that has made some headlines about making English the official language is just one example of that attitude. But English has always been enriched by its encounter with other languages. Its very roots are from other tongues. And there is much more that other languages and cultures can offer if they are seen as gifts from God. God has some things to say to us. If we are closed to the methods He uses, such as communication with others, reading the Scripture, and especially listening to those who differ from us, we may very well be ignoring God's attempts to communicate. Jesus' encounter with the woman of Samaria is the kind of thing that can happen to any of us. It happened to the woman who asked her bishop when he would send the parish a priest. His response to her challenged her thinking and assumptions. God is challenging our thinking and assumptions all the time. Jesus' whole ministry can be seen that way. He ate with sinners, He spoke to women, He healed on the Sabbath, and did all manner of things which shook up the power structure and the people He was sent to serve. He didn't do this just because He liked upsetting people. He did it because He was God, trying to break through the barriers people have erected to protect themselves from the holy other, God who loves us and wants us to be whole. And whole we are not. We value careful and cautious living. We spend a lot of money to protect our way of life as if it were the only way. We often show contempt towards others who differ from us, and we surround ourselves with friends who are just like us. Is it any wonder we get bored? Is it any wonder we start asking if God is really doing anything in our lives? In the play Auntie Mame, the heroine remarks or has an interesting question or statement. She says, "Life is a banquet, and a lot of people are starving to death." This was the situation of the woman at the well. Here she is, present to the water of life, and all she can think about is water to drink. But the encounter with Jesus doesn't end that way for her. She begins to discover her real thirst, and it is quenched by the only one who can, Jesus the Christ. So look for the places that are strange and the people who differ from you as sources for God to address your deepest longings. Listen for words that cause you to react. Be aware of times when you want to retreat from opinions and issues that make you uncomfortable. Then try to enter into conversation at these points. You may identify your hunger and thirst for the first time and realize that God is there, waiting to feed you and quench your thirst forever. Amen.